This is Chow Time. I'm your host, Ryan Chow. Season 1, Mushroom Monologues. Dear S, let me preface by saying I do not condone any illegal activity pertaining to psilocin or psilocybin, otherwise known as magic mushrooms or shrooms. You, as a listener, can do whatever you please, but I am not held responsible for any of your actions. Without further ado, a room with letters S and H are tacked in front of its door. Inside the quiet room, a person stares at a screen. An email was open, and the header reads, "Mushroom Hunting." But before I could continue with the rest of that story, let me say something real quick. Whenever I give an elevator pitch, I usually get these stares, these looks, kind of like, oh, you're one of those people. And there is this misconception or association with fungal fanatics and mushrooms of the magical kind. I'm usually aware of this and I don't really care too much. I usually preface by saying, no, not magic mushrooms or shrooms. I typically talk more about edible varieties that don't have hallucinogenic properties. But I get it. I mean, there's not a lot of times where people actually discuss about mushrooms, aside from, should I add mushrooms on top of my pizza? Or if you're to look at the media, and sometimes you'll notice that there is a mushroom poisoning over here, or somebody gets high off of mushrooms. But aside from those two discussions in media, there isn't much more than that. And you can also see the same in video games or pop culture references. So with that in mind, we return to Boromir staring at the email. The email is an invitation to go foraging for mushrooms. More specifically, the magical variety. You see, the email is kind of random. The sender says he knows Boromir through networking events and was hanging out with mutual friends, Elsa and Lisa. The sender, Aragorn, was talking to Elsa and Lisa one day, during dinner or something like that, about foraging for mushrooms. And of course, the first person they think of is Boromir. As an aside, I strive to be like that, where people will immediately think or associate me with fungi. In essence, Brian Chow equals fungal fanatic is a dream come true. Now going back to the story. Of course, Aragorn gets Boromir's email with Boromir getting no notice from Elsa or Lisa. As Boromir sat thinking about how to best reply, he thought about how easy for him to unknowingly fall into a trap, get kidnapped, and disappear because he goes foraging for magic mushrooms. And also because he likes to think in slippery slopes for whatever reason. If Elsa and Lisa knew Aragorn well enough, then there shouldn't be any problems for Boromir to go searching for these magical mushrooms. Besides, what are the odds of identifying any or finding any? As the reply was sent for this crazy adventure, Boromir decided to scold Elsa and Lisa, in a joking manner, of course. The email chain started to grow and grow, in coordinating a public meeting location, and to also gather information on identifying these magical mushrooms. Boromir kind of felt relieved knowing that there's an abundant amount of research and time put into trying to identify these type of mushrooms, looking through forums and whatnot. After all, but Boromir is not one to have someone die on his watch. And yet at the same time, he's still perplexed as to how he ended up in this situation, why he actually accepted, but more importantly, who is Aragorn? I mean, Aragorn did tell Boromir they met several times at networking events, and he knows Elsa and Lisa. But for whatever reason, Boromir just doesn't remember. So, he continues on, ignoring potential doom. Now, if Boromir believes in the multiverse as portrayed by Rick and Morty and other science fiction type of references, one of the Boromirs might end up dead in the multiverse. Then again, one of the Boromirs in the multiverse could also end up as a mushroom, because he can do that. This particular multiverse shouldn't end up in either direction, because then, what are you going to talk about in a multiverse where Boromir is a mushroom? Gets picked and eaten, I suppose. Boromir boarded the train and walked over to where Aragorn sat. Aragorn already outlined the details of the day and how to get to the foraging location. In hand, Boromir carried a backpack full of the necessary tools and identification books. They were ready to take on the task of finding mushrooms. As they made their way over to a vast park with hills and grasslands, they discussed a game plan of how to best tackle the immense areas. They would not split up the party, which is never a good sign anyway, and Boromir knows firsthand the strength in numbers is better than a solo adventure. There's no fun in a solo adventure in a foreign place. That's just a one-way ticket to get lost and trapped and probably killed. But of course, that's a slippery slope mind thinking again. It is important to note the month of mushroom picking. The best time to go foraging is after the first rain. Mushrooms of many varieties will appear after the first rain. What Boromir and Aragorn need to know is that the rain must stop for some time to give the mushrooms time to absorb the water and then pop out. For them, January is the time. And the rain has been on and off, so good luck to them. The two went off the beaten path in search of mushrooms. And sure enough, there were a bountiful amount in clusters. Most were inedible. Not poisonous per se, just inedible. There's no nutritional value, and the mushrooms would have been too rubbery to chew and swallow. Aragorn asked how Boromir could have known aside from looking at a book. Well, Boromir tells Aragorn, cut a piece of a mushroom and put it on the tip of your tongue. If you, Aragorn, have some sort of tingly sensation on the tip of your tongue, spit it out. You know it's poisonous then and there. Now, of course, that doesn't guarantee anything. Your tongue might not be as sensitive enough. Your tongue might be too sensitive. Another answer is probably if somebody out there finds a way to make a testing kit or an assay that can actually test out the toxicity of these type of mushrooms. There are tests out there, but of course they range in hundreds and hundreds of dollars to maybe thousands of dollars. The demand for these type of items is not high enough, and the cost might not be appealing for the masses who already have misconceptions about mushrooms. I don't know if that really answered your question, Aragorn, but that's the best I can give you. From then on, the two continued around the park, trying to find these magical, mystical mushrooms. But to no avail. Their discussions diverged into dating, food, family, and their backgrounds, and understanding who they are. Aragorn mentioned that he wanted to go visit his homeland and understand more about himself. And in doing so, he wanted to try something new, something different, before leaving to his homeland. He wanted to try shrooms. Now Boromir thought and thought. He heard about how people use mushrooms, specifically magic mushrooms, for these purposes of self-discovery, enlightenment. This hallucinogenic trip would open up their minds to something new, something different. And Boromir thought about this long and hard. More specifically, he reflected twice in his lifetime where he has spoken with friends. One friend, Manny, told him, "You'd have a terrible trip, sir. I know you well enough, Boromir, and you're not going to like it whatsoever. My personal experiences were pretty bad in of itself too. Depends on the day you take those shrooms, and it also depends on your mood. And most of the time, you're never in a good mood. In the other instance, Tina laughs at him. She says, Boromir, no. Just no. Knowing you well enough, no. 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 You're not gonna like it. In both situations, Boromir accepted what it is. There was no chance of him receiving any shrooms, at the very least. Returning from his thoughts, Boromir decided he should give another effort in looking for shrooms, in deciding his own fate of whether or not he would be enlightened. After going around in a convoluted loop, passing a waterfall, a lake, through pavement, and off the beaten path behind a garden and a baseball field, they made their way back to the underpass, where they were confronted by two gentlemen. One offered to sell them shrooms, and immediately Aragorn shot down that request and walked away with an increased pace. Now, I'm going to interject here and say that's pretty ironic. I mean, all this trouble in finding shrooms, and these two guys sitting on a bench had what Aragorn and Boromir were looking for. And then Aragorn says no. Boromir asked why. Why say no? And Aragorn says they might be cops, or the shrooms might not be what they were actually selling. What are the chances that they actually offered what we were looking for? True, Boromir didn't consider those thoughts, albeit that he usually goes on to think about slippery slopes and potential deaths and whatnot, but the opportunity was there. Boromir didn't see Aragorn after they parted ways that day. As he sits in his quiet room, Boromir assumed that Aragorn found his epiphany through shrooms by other means, or through other people, and is now enjoying his time learning more about his homeland. Best regards, Brian Chow. P.S. Chow Time is produced and edited by Brian Chow. Logo design was done by Shutterspoon. Music was produced by JD Gonzalez. If you liked bits and pieces of this podcast and would like to support Chow Time, please visit my Patreon page at patreon.com/chowtimes. Follow me on Instagram at thisischowtime. Follow and give me a tweet on what you like or didn't like at chowtimes. And check out my website at www.chow-time.com. You can listen to Chow Time every week through wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe and or write a review. Thank you.